Hey, good morning, Restoration and friends of Restoration. We are so thankful that you chose to worship with us online this morning. Listen, a special happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And listen, if this is your first time worshiping with us, my name is Joe and I'm one of the pastors here at the church. I know Mother's Day can be a difficult time for some and it can be a joyous time for some. But you know, I want us all to remember that we serve a great God. We serve a big God. And it's a God who walks with us in the valleys and he's there with us on the mountaintops. So whether this is a great day of celebration for you or a tough day for you, I pray that you would remember that we serve a great God. And I pray that you would worship in the Spirit of God this morning.
Let's worship this morning.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
And
all my days, oh yes, I will. I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy and all my days. Oh yes, I will. For all my days, oh yes, I will, and I choose to pray, to glorify, glorify the name of all names, that nothing can stand again, when I choose to pray, to glorify, glorify the name of all names, that nothing can stand again, and I choose to pray, to glorify, glorify the name of all names, that nothing can stand against. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. I'm running to your arms, the riches of your love.
nation will proclaim, you are here, you are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go.
And oh, I'm running to your rocks, I'm running to your rocks, the riches of your love. Light of the world forever reign. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing no other name.
Well, good morning, Restoration, and thank you so much for tuning in and worshiping with us online. I guess the first thing I should do is say Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. Now listen, I don't know how you're going to be appreciated or shown that love and affection for being a mom, but let me encourage you, whatever that looks like today, let me encourage you to go to your Heavenly Father in prayer and thank Him for the blessings that come with being a mother. Listen, today I want to be sensitive as well because I know that today is not a day of celebration for everyone. I know there's some of you out there who didn't circle this day on the calendar with anticipation of celebration, but today is a day of heartache and pain and frustration or maybe even a battle of even forgiveness. But let me encourage you, listen, Isaiah 41 says that our Heavenly Father is close to those who are brokenhearted. So let me encourage you to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer for comfort, for peace. But at the same time, as your pastor, let me encourage you, would you go to your Heavenly Father with thanksgiving as well, thanking Him for the blessings in your life because they're there even on Mother's Day. Listen, if you're worshiping with us for the first time, we've never met. My name's Adam. I'm one of the pastors over at Restoration, and I'm grateful that you've chosen to worship with us. I'll be praying that God will meet you exactly where you're at today. But listen, you picked a kind of a great day to worship with us because we're starting our brand new series, Walk This Way, as we continue our study of the book of Ephesians. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but we actually started studying Ephesians back in February when we had our marriage series, I Do, Not You Do. Remember that? Well, that was Ephesians chapter 5. Then we went back to Ephesians chapter 1 with our series called Chosen. Remember when Paul dropped those theological bombs at the beginning of the letter? Well, then COVID-19 hit, and that kind of messed up every one of our plans. But the Holy Spirit was working, and God kind of directed us to teach some different things. But now I'm grateful for the opportunity to pick our study back up. And what we're going to pick up today, the Apostle Paul is in his letter, and he's really instructing the church at Ephesus how to make life decisions differently because of Jesus. How to walk a certain way now that we're following Christ. But what you're going to see today is Paul is going to launch into a beautiful, beautiful prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, speaking of prayer, help me out here at home, all right? Audience participation at home, right there in your living room. It's going to be awkward, but here's what I want you to do. What if, or would you say yes to this statement? Hey, I believe we serve a big God. I believe we serve a big God who answers big prayers. I believe that. I just don't pray like I should. Like, how many would raise your hands if you were here today with me in this empty room? Or maybe you would say this: yes, I believe that God is a big God who loves to answer the prayers of his children. But Adam, I just don't remember to pray like I should. Yeah, I mean, I talk to people almost every week, guys especially, but ladies are not off the hook. Guys especially who would say that. They would say, I believe God's a God who is big and powerful and answers the prayers of his children. But I don't pray like I should. And then when you begin to ask the reasons why, man, let me tell you, there are some reasonable excuses, all right? But they're excuses. Nonetheless, maybe this is your excuse as well. Well, Adam, I just don't know if my prayers work. I mean, are the words that are coming out of my mouth, they hit the ceiling fan and come right back down to me? I don't know if I'm doing it right. So I don't, that's why I don't pray. Maybe for you, it's this. And maybe you have the guilt of falling asleep when you pray. I've been told that so many times. You know, well, when I pray, I fall asleep and then I wake up and I feel so bad about that. Like how many of us have fallen asleep in prayer? Yeah, like more times than I can count. How many of you have fallen asleep when someone else prays, right? Like at church and men's group, you know, or at the Thanksgiving table. Yeah, maybe some of you are like me, where you're just so ADD, sometimes it's hard to kind of focus your mind on prayer. Maybe for you, you are ADD when it comes to prayers like me. Like for example, I'll be praying to God, Lord, I need a miracle. Miracle Whip. I love Miracle Whip. I could use a sandwich right now. Not like Miracle Whip, but not Cool Whip, because Cool Whip's kind of like the cilantro of dessert. It's overpowering and it ruins everything. Gotta need that miracle. Maybe for you, you're the same way. I'm telling you, I have never had more of a difficult time focusing my prayers than right now in my life at 42 years old, at 7 years as a pastor. Like, I just can't get my mind to stop sometimes. Maybe that's your experience too. Maybe for you, your experience is like mine. When I talk about prayer, your mind goes back to youth group, you know, being raised in the youth group where you'd have to like join hands with people you didn't know. It was so awkward to pray out loud in that circle. And I would never ever get to hold hands with the cute chick. Like, I always had like the dudes, and I was unequally yoked with the dudes. Like on one side, there'd be like super powerful Christian, and the more he prayed and the harder he prayed, the more he squeezed my hand, I would just alpha male him right back and give him a little more power to pray. But this guy over here would be like dead fish limp guy. Like, come on, man, be a man. Maybe you've lost all respect for me now as your pastor, but here's the deal. So many of us have every reason in the world that we could say, yeah, I know we serve a big God who answers prayer, but I just don't pray like I should. And for those of us who do pray, for those of us who do find ourselves praying on a regular basis, I think the Apostle Paul is going to address two big issues in this Ephesians chapter 3 passage that those of us who do pray make. The first mistake is this. Oftentimes, our prayers are just too small. They're too small for the size of God that we serve. And not only are they too small, I think sometimes they're just too general. I don't want to be silly, and I don't want to be, you know, disrespectful in any way, but sometimes I wonder if God hears my prayers and thinks, Adam, is that all you got? Adam, bless you? You want me to bless you? Adam, have you realized where you live in this world? Have you realized where you live in this country, in this state? Do you realize your neighborhood? Do you realize who you live with? Bless you. Adam, I've already blessed you. But sure, I'll do it again. I'm a good heavenly father who loves to give blessings to my children. Sure. Or this one, Lord, please be with me today. Like, I just wonder if God ever says, Adam, be with you. I've already promised to be with you. I've promised to never leave you or forsake you. Sure, I'll be with you. But do you have anything else? Listen, today we're going to see a beautiful prayer, as I mentioned, where the Apostle Paul blows these two mistakes out of the water. And he gives us a model of a powerful, specific, and passionate prayer. And I think it's going to encourage you. And my prayer for you today, that as we open up Scripture and read this beautiful prayer the Apostle Paul prays, that you'll be challenged, that you'll be encouraged and equipped to pray not small prayers, not general prayers, but passionate, specific, and powerful prayers. Before I do that, let me pray to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that as we open up your word, Lord, that these truths that are on the pages of our Bible, Lord, would leap off the pages and land on our heart, Lord. And that as they land on our heart, they would transform us, Lord. And that we would have an understanding of your love for us, Lord. That we would experience the fullness, Lord, that you have to offer us, Lord. And that as a result, that we would be transformed and we would learn to walk differently now that we're following Christ, Lord, than when we weren't following Christ. Lord, help us to learn to walk this way that you would call us to walk. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here listening, Lord, who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation, that they would see the fullness of your love and the experience, the power of the Spirit in their lives for the first time. Lord, we love you, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen. and amen. Listen, if you have your Bibles at home, and I kind of hope you do, maybe it's on the nightstand or on the coffee table, go ahead and pick that up, dust it off, and open it up to Ephesians chapter 3 for me. Ephesians chapter 3, if you have your devices, go ahead and scroll up to that as well. Now, it's in the New Testament, and again, this is a letter that the Apostle Paul is writing from prison, and he's writing it to a gathering of believers, to a group of Christians. An ecclesia is the Greek word for church. He's writing it to a church in a city called Ephesus. Now, again, he's already talked about who God is. He's talked about what salvation is, and now he's going to talk about what it looks like to walk in this new life as a follower of Christ. But first he's going to pray, and you're going to see this beautiful, beautiful prayer starting in verse 14. It is beautiful and it's powerful. Watch this. The Apostle Paul says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Let me stop there. Kind of a TV timeout. I want to address the issue of posture, physical posture in prayer. Now, let me just say right up front, there is no right or wrong physical posture when it comes to prayer. You can pray laying down. You can pray sitting up behind a desk, on your computer. You can pray. In fact, in Paul's day, the norm would have been to stand up tall with your hands lifted toward heaven. That would have been Paul's norm back in his day. Of course, Jesus kneels, and we see right here the Apostle Paul is kneeling before the Heavenly Father. Listen, this is why I bring this up. Would you examine your posture? Would you examine your posture and ask yourself this question? Does my physical posture reflect the posture of my heart? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. There are times where I lay down to pray and it has nothing to do with the posture of my heart. My posture of my heart is surrendered to God, submitted to God. It is fully engaged. However, other times I do lay down. I do lay down to pray and it is a great reflection of my heart. It's tired, it's fatigued, and it's not really in it. And let me tell you this, there's other times though when I do kneel down to pray. You see, I spend a lot of time in my garage. In fact, I practice my sermons in my garage. I write my sermons in my garage. I exercise in my garage. I love my garage. But also what I found, the sweetest times of prayer happen in my garage as I kneel down before my Heavenly Father. And what I've learned about my own self is that when I kneel in prayer, it is in those times where I desperately need God to move. I desperately need to see the power of God in my life. And what I'm doing is I'm acknowledging, God, I've got nothing. God, I am desperate for you because I am empty. There is nothing in me, Lord, that can handle this situation. I need you. And so the posture of kneeling down does reflect the desperate posture of my heart before Him in prayer. Again, no right or wrong, no prescription, just an evaluation, as Paul clearly puts it in there for a reason, and just wants you to be thinking about that as you pray. He goes on, verse 15 says, 16 says, "I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with the power through His Spirit in your inner being." Let me stop right there and talk about the gloriously rich Father that we serve. You see, the Apostle Paul has already told us in Ephesians chapter 1 that God is so rich that He has the ability to give us every spiritual blessing we need. In Philippians, he says that God will supply all of our needs according to His glorious riches. Do you ever think about how rich our Heavenly Father is? Do you ever think about how rich our Heavenly Father is and how He desires to dispense spiritual blessings on us? I mean, think about this. If our Heavenly Father that we serve is so rich, is so gloriously rich, why do so many Christians walk around as spiritually depraved children? Why do we walk around as spiritually starved children when we serve a rich, a gloriously rich Heavenly Father? I think there's a lot of reasons, but maybe one reason is we haven't tapped into the power. We haven't tapped into His power through the Spirit in us. Watch this. Verse 17 says this, "His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love." And he starts to connect the dots between the power in the Spirit and being rooted in love. Listen, this word power is one of my favorite words in all of Scripture. Because what I want you to see is this word power in Greek means dunamis. Dunamis is where we get our word dynamite from, which means explosive power. A couple years ago, we did a sermon series on the Holy Spirit. You can go back and listen to that. And we talked about the power that comes from the Spirit within us. And it's this power that we desperately need if we're going to experience the glorious riches our Heavenly Father has to give us. Back in the beginning of 2020, I don't know if you remember this or not, but on social media, everyone had a word for this year. Do you remember that? Remember how everybody had a word for the year? Like maybe their word was family, maybe it was encouragement, maybe it was goals, you know, whatever. Well, I'm a pretty sarcastic guy, and I was walking around the house kind of being sarcastic about all these people's words for the year. And I was sitting sitting there being silly with the kids. And so I said, Katie, my word for this year is power. And I start flexing my muscles or what little muscles I have. And the kids are laughing at me. And Katie's quick to remind me that I'm 42 and middle-aged and stop doing that. But Dad's like, no. I really do need power. I really do need power. I need God's power. Listen, here's why I need God's power. If I'm going to be the man that God's called me to be, I need the power of God to do it. If I'm going to be the husband that God's called me to be, I need the power of God to do it. If I'm going to be the father that God's called me to be, I need the power of God to do it. I need the power of God in my preaching, in my leadership, just in my humility. I need the power of God to walk in this life, to walk the way that He's called me to walk, because I've tried it in my own power. And if it does work for a day, it certainly won't last tomorrow, but usually it never works. And I never get to experience the glorious riches of my Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father says, listen, I want you to experience the power that is in the Spirit inside of you. Now listen, when He talks about the Spirit inside of you, He is talking to followers of Christ. And I realize that today there is likely many, many people watching today who haven't given their life to Christ yet. I'm going to come back to you in just a second. But the Apostle Paul is speaking directly to followers of Christ. And he says you need to flip the switch. You need to flip the switch from your power to the power of the Spirit. So if you're going to experience this power of God, this gloriously rich Father, and going to be rooted in love. Think about flipping the switch. Back in 2003, I was working for a software company on Daniel Island, which if you know anything about me, it's kind of ironic because I don't do technology, but here I find myself selling software. Well, one day I'm sitting at work and the boss man says, Adam, tonight when you leave, they're going to give you a brand new computer and it's going to have a new operating system, well, you know, whatever that is. And it's going to be a great computer. It's going to be faster, more powerful. I was like, okay, great, boss man. See you in the morning. So next morning, I get to work and there it is. Brand new computer. You can tell it just came out of the box. You know, it's got this new operating system in it, whatever. And listen, I'm not the smartest guy, but I know where the on-off button is. And so I hit the on-off button on that brand new computer. Nothing happens. I'm like, okay. Again, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but usually not the dullest. So I remember to follow the power cord to make sure it's plugged in. And so I follow the power cord down and it's plugged in. Still, hit that on-off button. Nothing's happening. I call IT. They laugh because another salesman's calling IT. And I say, listen, it's just not working. I can't get it to power up. And he says, you know, is it plugged in? I'm like, yes, it's plugged in. He says, what's it plugged into? I said, well, it's plugged into this thing on the ground. It's got six outlets on this one strip. He's like, that's called a power strip. I was like, okay, genius. I plugged into a power strip. And so nonetheless, he says, well, listen, is the on-off button lit up? I was like, on-off button? What do you mean? He's like, on the power strip, there's an on-off button. You got to flip the switch. And when I flipped that switch, the light came on. I pushed power on the computer, and there's my computer. I had all this access to all this new speed and technology, but I didn't flip the switch. And I think so many followers of Christ are still walking like they used to walk before Christ because they haven't flipped the switch of accessing the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes on. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, I want you to flip this switch. I want you to experience the power, and you may have power together with all the Lord's people. Man, this is so rich. I could have like three sermons in one day, but I'm not going to do that to you. But I wanted to stop there. I had a conversation this week, and I have this conversation all the time. I even said this as a young man. You probably said it as well. I can follow Christ and I can worship God and not be plugged into a local church. I can worship God and not be in a church. To which I'd say, I'm not so sure. You see, my Bible says differently. My Bible says if I'm going to access all that God has for me, it's going to be together with the Lord's people. We'll talk more about that next week as we go to chapter 4. But the Apostle Paul says, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp, don't miss this, if I've lost you, tune back in, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge means it's a supernatural thing, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That is so deep and so rich. And that is a specific, powerful, and passionate prayer that the Apostle Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. And what he's saying is, he's saying, I want you to be overwhelmed with this supernatural knowledge of God's love. You see, even me as a paid professional, right? I can't articulately describe to you the magnitude of God's love. It is a supernatural revelation. But when it is revealed to you how much God loves you, it changes everything. It changes everything, and you begin to experience the fullness of God. Listen, we ask this question a lot at Restoration. Do you know those people in your life who you would consider spiritually strong? You know, maybe they're your heroes in the faith. You know, they have the storms of life come their way, but they bend, but they never break. You know, they have these obstacles come in their life, and they never seem to lose control or to, you know, lose their temper. They seem to just to kind of be steady and still find joy, even in the midst of trials and sufferings. You know those people? And have you ever asked the question, hey, do they have something that I don't have? How come they have that and I don't? Well, the reality is, they may have something you don't. They may have experienced the totality of God's love for them and thus experience the fullness of God because they flipped that switch and they're operating by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in their own power. You see, they may have something that you don't have, but it's available to you. And the Apostle Paul is praying that you would experience that, the fullness of God. And listen, when you understand the fullness of God's love and experience the fullness of everything God has for you, that begins to change your prayers. Let me explain. For our church right now, I'm not praying that you'll have safe traveling mercies. I mean, I do, and yes, and I hope you have safe traveling mercies. I'm not praying that you'll have a good day today. I'm just not. What I'm praying for this church is I'm praying that Restoration Community Church will experience the fullness of God. That you will have a supernatural understanding of God's love for you, because when you do, that changes everything. It changes how you walk, and it changes your faith from a Sunday morning activity to a new way that you live your life. It's a new way that you walk. Listen, it changes the prayers from this. And this is a great example. Hey God, listen, my kids, I just pray, you know, that they won't have sex before they're married and they won't get addicted to drugs, you know, and Lord, amen. It changes it from that. The Heavenly Father, would you reveal yourself to my children, Lord? Would you show them supernaturally how much you love them? Lord, would they experience the fullness of God? Lord, so that when they do, they can be used by you at school as a champion of their faith, as missionaries to a lost and dying world, even at their schools. Lord, will you use my kids in that way? Will you supernaturally reveal yourself to them? You see, it changes my prayer from, hey, my husband's a jerk. I wish he wouldn't be such a jerk. Lord, can you please help him? To, Lord, would you open the eyes of the heart of my husband? Lord, would you reveal yourself to him so that he would experience the fullness of God's love for him? And would you transform his life so that he would transform this family? And then generations would be transformed because he experiences you and the fullness of you. Do you see how that's a different prayer? That's a powerful, passionate, specific prayer. And I'm telling you, when you understand God's love for you, it changes everything. It changes the way you walk. And it changes the way you pray. The Apostle Paul begins to bring it to a close. Here's what he says in verse 20. He says this, now to him, this is so beautiful, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work where? Within us. To him be the glory. Where? In the church. I don't have to be connected to a body of believers. I don't have to be connected to a church. It's not what my Bible says. In the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. All right, I want you to do me an exercise. Ready? I want you to work with me here. Do a little exercise with me. Ready? I want you to imagine what God could do in your family. Like right now, like literally, I want you to imagine it. If God revealed himself to everyone in your family, and he supernaturally changed everyone in your family, and everyone in your family accepted the gospel, started living by the gospel, started walking differently because of Christ, I want you to imagine. What would it change about your family? You got it? You imagining it? All right, now, I want you to imagine what God could do through your family when it comes to making a difference on your street. When it comes to reaching lost people who are far from God but close to you, I want you to imagine what God could do if he really got a hold of your family and your family was on mission for him on your street. Can you imagine it? Now imagine your street got a hold of the gospel, and imagine the impact your street could have on your neighborhood. You with me? Now imagine everyone at Restoration Community Church experience this overwhelming love for God and experience the fullness of God, and imagine that everyone at Restoration Community Church was deployed on mission inside this city and their community. Are you imagining it? Can you imagine the effect, and can you imagine the work that God would do? All right, you imagined it. God wants to do so much more than you can even imagine. And he's able to do so much more than you can even imagine. But so many of us are still walking like we used to walk before Christ because we haven't flipped the switch of accessing the power of the Spirit in our lives, and we're still accessing the power of this futile body. And it never, ever works like it should. Listen, Restoration, I am praying for this church during this season. One of my specific prayers for this church is that we wouldn't miss this opportunity, that we wouldn't be viewing this whole COVID-19 quarantine as an extended spring break from church. No, I'm praying specifically that you guys would be on mission, that you'd be praying passionate, specific, and powerful prayers for your family, for you, and for your neighbors. Listen, church, we're at a unique time, and man, I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul in prison is praying for the church at Ephesus 2,000 years ago. And now 2,000 years later, we're talking about it. Could you imagine if all of us would just experience the fullness of God, what God could do through us, and how much His name would be glorified? Listen, I'm going to make you a challenge, right? I'm going to make you a challenge, and I'm going to ask you to do a hard thing this week. All right, challenge number one is, would you commit to praying with me every day this week? Just every day for the next 7 days, would you commit to praying with me? You say, what are you going to pray about? All right, I'll give you some examples in a minute, but that's going to be largely up to you. But would you commit to praying for the next 7 days? Number two, would you commit to praying big and specific prayers? Right? Remember, a gloriously rich God, right? A gloriously rich God who's already given us lots of promises and desires for us to go to Him with big and specific and passionate prayers. Would you pray that with me for 7 days? Again, I've told you some examples that I'm praying for my children. I'm praying for myself as a man, as a father, as a husband, that I would be humble, that I would die to self, that I would be God's living sacrifice every single day, and that I wouldn't live for me, but I'd live for Him. I'm praying for our church. I gave you those examples. Listen, you can pray however you want to pray. Another thing I'm praying for, I'm praying that God will supply our financial needs for this building that we're building. Because currently right now we're homeless, right? But I'm praying that God will provide every dollar that we need to finish this project and then to leave this project debt free. Would you join me in praying that? See, that's a big, specific, passionate, bold prayer. Pray with me this week, church. Hey, some of you who are listening this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some of you this morning would agree with me that, hey, listen, your own power hasn't really got you anywhere. Some of you would agree with me this morning that you find yourself in a state of brokenness, needing a Savior, needing to be rescued, needing to find a solution. See, today, so many of you listening to me need to start by praying to God. Hey, God, I am a broken sinner coming to You in desperate need of a Savior. And I believe that You love me so much that You would send Jesus Christ to go to that cross for my sins, to bear the weight of my sins, to pay for my sins, to be placed in a grave with my sins for 3 days. But then 3 days later, God, I believe You raised Him from the grave. And I want to give my life to Christ and I want to follow Him today. See, it's, for some of you, that needs to be your prayer this morning. And if that is your prayer this morning, I want to ask you to do what I asked you to do last week. Would you go to our homepage at lifeatrestoration.com and would you click the button that says, I want to be baptized. And that will initiate a conversation between you and me. And I'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Church, I want to pray for you as we begin to kind of go into our time of corporate and family prayer. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You that You would be so gracious to even listen to our prayers. Lord, I thank You that You'd be so gracious, Lord, that You would even incline Your ear to hear from us. Lord, and You did that. You made that way possible, Lord, through Jesus Christ, and we thank You for that. Lord, I pray for our church this morning that we would learn to pray big, specific, passionate prayers. Lord, because we know that our Heavenly Father is gloriously rich and wants to dispense spiritual blessings on us so that we would experience the fullness of who You are and live by the power of the Spirit within us. Lord, I pray that our church would take prayer seriously. Lord, that it wouldn't be a religious activity that we do before we go to bed, Lord. That it would be something, Lord, that we see as communion with You in Your presence. To be refilled, Lord. To be encouraged, Lord. To be set in the right path, Lord. To be empowered on mission. Lord, I pray for the one, Lord, who is listening this morning, who's never entered into a relationship with You through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that that would change today. Lord, and that they would go to You right now in prayer, praying for salvation, praying for forgiveness of sins, acknowledging You as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we love You, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Church, now's the time that we pray with our families right there in our living rooms, as awkward as it may be. Let me encourage you to lead strong and to spend some time praying those big, bold, passionate, specific prayers.
you guys want to continue to pray at home, please do so. Otherwise, let's sing one more song in worship of our Lord.
God is able. He will never fail. He is almighty God. Greater than all we see. Greater than all we ask. He has done great things. Lifted up. He defeated the grave. Raised to life, our God is able. In His name, we overcome. For the Lord, our God is able. Yeah.
God is with us.
God is with us, God is on our side, He will make a way, far above all we know, far above all we hope, He has done great things,
lift it up,
lift it up, He defeated the grave. Raised to life, our God is able. In His name, we overcome. For the Lord, our God is able.
Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory." Amen.
And God is with us, and He will go before. He will never leave us. He will never leave us. God is for us. And He has open arms. He will never fail us. He will never fail us. Lifted up. He defeated the grave. Raised to life. Our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, worship team, for leading us in songs of praise. Listen, I hope today you were encouraged by the message that you heard, and I pray that you were challenged by it. I pray that you would challenge to come together as the body of believers that worship the same God, and I pray that we would pray big prayers, and I pray that we'd be united in the Spirit as we pray to God this week. I pray that God will do a mighty work in your life, and I pray that He would reveal Himself to us all in a mighty way as we experience the love of God together. Listen, have a great week, church, and remember, you guys are on mission.